Young left alone. And Trey Young becomes the fourth Hawk in double figures with 11.
For us, we, you know, have been a great defensive team all year. This certainly wasn't one of our better performances. We're better than that. I'm not trying to take away anything from Atlanta. They played a great game, but I certainly think we could have done a better job all the way through, all the way around.
Matt Pinto taking over last night for Chris Fisher on the TV side, and we hope he gets to feeling better very quickly. Dusty, Billy Donovan, not really very quick to criticize the team, but this guy, I think, sees that some special opportunities are slipping away from the team when they play as poorly as they did last night and as poorly as they've played at times in the last couple weeks. That was awful.
It was awful. It was embarrassing. Two 45-point quarters in the second and the fourth. It felt like they had taken back over control of the game in the third quarter, and then they just no-showed defensively in the fourth quarter. Listen, Atlanta's a improved team. You know, we obviously saw Trae Young have a good game last night, and he's getting better. It's a young team, but 142 points, it's embarrassing. And Billy Donovan was much more reserved than I think I would have been, Mark, because the lack of effort that an NBA basketball team put out there last night it's unacceptable. And, you know, sometimes when you get so mad, you just have to kind of laugh. So I was just kind of, as I was watching that game toward the end last night, it made me think of one of my favorite sports movies. And I was hoping, it didn't happen, I was hoping Billy Donovan would have sounded a little bit more like this to his team.
You guys, you lollygag the ball around the empty. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Barry? Lollygaggers.
They're lollygaggers, Mark. That's what they were last night. A bunch of stinking lollygaggers in the ATL beat Oklahoma City to a degree. Now, part of this may have just been, oh, we're going to go there and outscore. I'd love to see what everybody was up to the night before, because there was zero emphasis on defense last night. And Atlanta against the Hawks, they acted as if they had never seen a pick and roll before, Mark. I've never seen such bad defense defending the pick and roll. It was mind-boggling. The only thing that can rationalize what happened last night was lollygagging, Mark. That's my answer for what went down in the ATL last night in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But this is not new. It's been this way for quite a while. You know, at the home game against Minnesota, could not get stops down the stretch, could not stop Andrew Wiggins' penetration. The shell of the overall defense wasn't very good. Wizards, same thing. They should be beating these teams, and they're not getting it done. So, schedule, they're making it difficult on themselves because they're going to have to make up ground against the tougher portion of their schedule, which is not an ideal situation.
This roster is put together. Like, if you look at this roster, Mark, it's a team that has to win with defense. And that's why they hit their stride. I heard this morning Spinozzi mention it. They went on that streak where they won 21 of 27 games, I think it was. 21-6 on a 27-game stretch. And they did that by playing great defense. Now, Paul George made some big shots, but they were getting it done with defense, Mark. And, you know, you kind of just illustrated it. You know, when you look at the last, really, you go back to, I would probably say, you know, 10 games ago or so, Mark. I mean, the defense just has been defense optional. Instead of it being their calling card, it's something that they're opting not to do because for whatever reason, the identity and the focus has shifted from locking down people and that being the way that we go about winning games to we're just going to outscore you. Hey, we can outscore you. We don't have to play defense. We got scores. We can score, and that is a recipe for failure for this basketball team, Mark. They are not going to outscore the better teams in the NBA. They're going to have to lock in on the defensive side. It seemed like midway through, you know, 10, 12, 15 games ago, they really understood and embraced that, and here lately, it's been anything but that. So I would say the Thunder are in a bit of an identity crisis, Mark. I mean, it seemed like they knew they were earlier in the year, and now they've gone away from what was giving them so much success, and I just don't know why.
Yeah, they're overconfident. They are somewhat arrogant. They don't see their flaws. They don't do a good job at that. You know, statistically in the league, they're in the top. I think they were still yesterday number one in points per 100 possessions. Somewhere in the league in field goal percentage, they're down near the bottom of the league. And so if you try to outshoot a team like Atlanta by not playing any defense, you get what you get last night. I mean, they allow 60% shooting. There's three quarters of the NBA or more that's better shooting team than Oklahoma City. So you can't win like that. Can't win like that. We do have some breaking news. We mentioned that we're going to have Tim McMahon coming up next segment. We're going to try to get Doug Gottlieb on a little bit later on this hour. Oklahoma State's had three members of its basketball team, three members removed from the basketball team, including transfer Michael Weathers. And so that's it's a little bit of a bad break for them. So we'll figure out what's happening in Stillwater and what caused those guys to be dismissed.
Here's the official release from Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State men's basketball coach Mike Boynton announced today that guard Michael Weathers, forwards Maurice Kalou, and Contravius Jones are no longer with the team due to a violation of rules. This is a quote. "We have a standard of behavior that we expect from everyone in our program, and we're going to move forward with the people who want to abide by those standards. I wish the others well as they move on." That's from head coach Mike Boynton. So, wow. I don't even have a clue as to what this might pertain to, Mark.
Nope.
No idea. Doug Gottlieb, nice job by the missile. Doug Gottlieb, he is now booked for 12:45. So I'm sure we'll have a little bit more insight as to what's going on in Stillwater. This can't be good for a basketball team, Mark, that was already kind of middling and really had to fight, scratch, and claw just to get the wins that they have. I mean, from a depth standpoint, it's really going to hurt this basketball team. I will say, though, I mean, obviously, if guys broke team rules, I mean, you have to put rules in place and hold guys to a certain standard. So I think it's the right move by Mike Boynton if he felt it needed to happen to be sure that there's discipline on his basketball team. But clearly on the floor, Mark, this is going to make life a little bit even more difficult for the Cowboys remainder of the Big 12 season.
Yeah, it's just tough to know what you're going to find out any night in the Big 12. There's a lot of balance and a lot of parity in the league. I mean, Oklahoma State's good enough to go on the road and win at West Virginia. Good enough to beat Texas pretty decisively at home. They shot it really well that night, but that is tough. That's tough for Oklahoma State to try to establish some momentum. It's not a good deal. There's some good college basketball coming up. Oklahoma plays Kansas State tonight, 6 o'clock, Lloyd Noble. K-State's been pretty good on the road the last two, Dusty. They played Texas Tech right down to the wire, then they won at Iowa State. They made Iowa State look really ugly, too. Usually Iowa State's a good, has a good flow on offense and scores a bunch of points, especially in Hilton. They did that to Kansas State, but they couldn't do it to they did that to KU. They couldn't do it to Kansas State last Saturday. This Oklahoma offense can look stagnant and have a tough time shooting from time to time. So this is going to be a very important game for Oklahoma this evening, one that could go either way, I think.
Yes, I totally agree. I don't really know what to think of Kansas State, Mark. I mean, you mentioned it. They went to Hilton and beat Iowa State, a really good team that's highly respected. They played Texas Tech close in Lubbock, but Texas came in to start the year and blew their doors off in Manhattan. So I don't know exactly what to get, but this is an important game tonight in Norman, and we'll see if Christian Doolittle can step up and give a performance in the neighborhood of what he did on Saturday. And be great if Christian James could get on a hot streak here for the Sooners. It's an important game tonight against Kansas State, because then, Mark, you go on the road to Austin over the weekend for OU Texas, and the following week you got to go to Stillwater for Bedlam. So take care of your business when you get it at home.
It's just tough. It's tough in the league. Tough. I mean, all these games are very difficult. There's not hardly there are very few gimmies.
West Virginia, I think, has become a gimme, because I watched some of that TCU West Virginia game last night.
Yeah,
they stink, man. That is not a good basketball team right now. Bob Huggins, he typically puts out teams that are tough, hard nosed. They play their butts off. They are struggling mightily this year, Mark.
Yeah, they are struggling. They definitely are. I still think they can win. At home, I mean, they can beat you at home, but that's one game you're going to have to try to. You need to win that one for sure if you're Oklahoma. Sweep that series. Christian Doolittle has been playing a lot better, Dusty. He's really helped them. I mean, that last four games for him have been good. And again, Christian James, I don't get it. He's been really good the last 2 years in December, and his season's tailed off dramatically when it's gotten into conference play.
Same thing last year, right? We saw
same
this
thing last year.
Saw this trend from a season ago. So, yeah, 24-10 on Saturday in the game winner for Christian Doolittle. I thought that was extremely impressive. Christian James, Brady Manick, they had to make shots tonight when they're at home. But one thing you know about Kansas State, they're going to D you up and they're going to make life tough. So it should be a very fun matchup in the Lloyd Noble Center here tonight. So we're getting a text here from Matt. I haven't seen this yet, but I'm sure it's out there. So Oklahoma is going to, I guess here it is from Jake Trotter, came out here in the last 30 minutes. That here's what Jake Trotter says. As Oklahoma pursues Alabama grad transfer Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma is blocking its own Austin Kendall from becoming immediately eligible at West Virginia as a grad transfer. Multiple sources.
Ooh, tell that's juicy.
ESPN.
I don't like that.
I don't like it. I can't.
If you're
stand
a grad transfer, how can
I
they?
It's ridiculous.
How can they block it?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Is that allowed? Or is that just a suggestion?
Yeah. No, I think that's still allowed. I think that's a conference by conference basis. Remember when we talked about this a season ago?
Okay.
And
yeah, that's right. Okay, that makes sense.
Now, we had seen there was a big uproar in the SEC, and I can't remember what the player was, but the team caved, and they allowed him to go ahead and transfer without having to, you know, without being blocked within the conference. I just don't get it, man. Austin Kendall was been to Oklahoma 3 years, did everything he's supposed to do, graduated early, right? I mean, he's done everything right. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. And he just wants to put himself in the best possible situation. If the best situation, as he, you know, surveys the landscape and what's out there for him, is at West Virginia, why does Lincoln Riley or Oklahoma, and I'm not just getting on Lincoln Riley or Oklahoma, why would any college not want to allow that kid who's done everything right for you to go do what's best for him moving forward? Explain that to me, Mark. Why?
Well, it's terrible because, again, this is by the rules. I mean, it's something that the rules allow. So it's I think Oklahoma needs to recognize that grad transfer is a thing. Coaches all the time can leave if they get a better offer. Sometimes coaches go coach within their own conference too. So they need to let him transfer. The more important thing to me in this is
he can't become immediately eligible. I mean, he could transfer there.
Okay.
They put a block so he cannot play. He wouldn't be able to play there.
That's
in 2019
the rule.
Season.
Conference. The penalty within the conference is sit out a year.
Yeah.
So
yeah. He'd only have 1 year of eligibility left.
His eligibility. So maybe it does.
It may be a conference rule, but the team could step in and say, no, we'll waive that. The team has the right to uphold the rule. Like, yeah, it is a rule that the Big 12, and we said this for over a year now. I think it's stupid. If you've graduated college, let me make this very clear. If you've graduated, okay, because I know it's the furthest thing from what anybody wants to acknowledge, but on some level, the NCAA is still supposed to be about student-athletes. Or, I mean, student-athletes. I know it's just about athletes, but let's live in this fictitious world that's supposed to be college sports, okay? The goal should be to graduate college. That should be the goal. The goal should be to be able to put yourself in the best academically and athletically situation possible. Okay? Austin Kendall hasn't really had an opportunity to play here at Oklahoma. He's had to sit back and be a backup. And he's done it. He hasn't complained. He's just done his job. But what he has excelled at is in the classroom. And he's gone and gotten his degree, which is still supposed to be a huge aspect of what this whole thing is about. And now you're going to tell him that though he worked his butt off and was able to graduate in 3 years and give himself 2 years eligibility, if his best situation is within the Big 12 conference, that he's going to have to now lose a year of that eligibility to go play there? That's just ludicrous to me. And again, I'm not necessarily getting on Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, though they could step up and say, you know what, though that is a conference rule, we're going to allow him and not hold his feet to the fire. They could do that. I just think that in anywhere in big-time college football, if these kids graduate, they should be able to transfer to wherever they want without penalty. I've felt that way for a long time. I just think this is ridiculous, in my opinion. Ridiculous.
All right, the big story here to me is this, is that that means I think that divorce is inevitable between Oklahoma and Austin Kendall. I mean, if they're going to make this contentious by telling him we're not going to, or we're going to block you from going to West Virginia, that I don't think he's coming back even to be the quarterback at Oklahoma if Jalen Hurts doesn't. So it looks like OU is going to be down to Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler for next season, with Rattler not being on campus until September or August. So that's a tough break for Oklahoma. I mean, I don't think this is the way they wanted all this to go down.
I mean, no, probably not. But I mean, that's just the nature of dealing with transfers and quarterbacks in 2019, Mark. You can't make everybody happy. And clearly Lincoln Riley looked at and decided that he wanted to go after Jalen Hurts. And when you go after somebody like that, Austin Kendall, I mean, he's a human. He's a competitor. He wants to go out there and play. And he knows that he's got 2 years of eligibility left. Say again.
Jalen Hurts just put out an article in the Players Tribune. He's going to Oklahoma.
No shocker at all. And that's why we talked yesterday about these numbers from betonline.ag. I thought it was ludicrous. I mean, I thought Oklahoma should have been the favorite yesterday, and we talked about it. Them in Miami, I thought, have always been 1-2. And then when Tate Martell from Ohio State went to Miami last night, I've been waiting all morning for the news to drop. So Jalen Hurts is going to be the quarterback at Oklahoma next year, and Austin Kendall, by everything we can account for, he's going to transfer. And now the question is, will it be West Virginia, where he's going to have to lose a year of eligibility potentially, or will it be somewhere else? So a lot going on. That just came off the wire. So big-time news, Jalen Hurts coming to Oklahoma. We've talked about this a lot, Mark, and I'm sold on it. Like, you know, I tried to sell you on it last week. You aren't buying, but, I mean, I'm sold on it for multiple reasons. I think that nobody knows this team and what they need better than Lincoln Riley. And if Lincoln Riley didn't think Austin Kendall could get Oklahoma back to where they needed to be in a college football playoff or win a Big 12 championship, and that Jalen Hurts gives him a better opportunity, he knows better than any of us, okay? And I've talked about the running aspect of it, how he could tailor fit the offense, a lot of different things. I think he gives them the best chance based off what they have going into next season on the field to be productive. But even more than that, Mark, is the leadership, the way he handled himself this year. He's been in a program like Alabama, played in three straight national titles. I mean, he's got the magic Saban dust, man. You want to put that around as many players as possible. He understands what it takes to get to the top of the mountain. And, again, I think that that is invaluable to immerse a guy like that within your program, get those players around, and he's going to hold people accountable. And my final reason why I think it's a good idea and why I have to think Lincoln Riley was thinking about it is because Spencer Rattler, Mark, I mean, he's not getting here till the summer, so you can't count on him to be there for day one. And he's already had his issues in high school, right? He couldn't finish his senior year, so who better to mentor Spencer Rattler to be the next quarterback at Oklahoma than a mature, extremely successful, proven commodity like Jalen Hurts? I've thought for a while now it's a no-brainer for the Oklahoma side, and I thought from a football side it's a no-brainer for Jalen Hurts to get a chance to work with Lincoln Riley, and the fact that his last two quarterbacks are Heismans, I just didn't know if Jalen Hurts ultimately wanted that or wanted to go with a coach that he felt comfortable with, one of his former coaches, Dan Enos or Mike Locksley. But he's coming to Norman now, Mark, so betonline.ag, they took a lot of folks' money if they were betting on that yesterday. Because Oklahoma wasn't even an option, Marcus.
That's right. Everybody loses.
That's the best thing to set up.
I think it's going to be a challenge for him to adapt, or for Lincoln Riley to adapt the offense where it fits Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's been a lot different for the last couple of seasons. He is not even close to the same category or range as the last two, but. The leadership argument, I will buy. I think that presence, having played at a program that's won a national championship and having done it himself, should allow the rest of his teammates to look up to him. So it's a good get for Oklahoma because of the situation with Kendall. I mean, they wouldn't want to be left with a true freshman quarterback and then one other quarterback going into the season. So
it's a perfect stopgap between Kyler Murray and between the Spencer Rattler era. it's going to be a one-year deal. He's going to come in and see if he can get himself, you know, back in the same position he's been with Alabama. And then, well, at the same time, you know, mentor a young quarterback that, that they think has a lot of promise here in Norman. By the way, what an offseason for Lincoln Riley, Mark. He gets his D coordinator, right? Gets Alex Grinch. Gets Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's it just kind of feels like right now. I know they lost Alabama, but it feels like Lincoln Riley, he's pushing all the right buttons. I'm here at Aquascape Pools right now, corner of Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. Give them a call, 405-359-0140 to schedule your appointment with one of their designers. You can get your backyard dreams into action. They don't just install a pool. They do the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, and fire pits, all on display right here in the showroom corner of Eastern and Britton. It's Aquascape Pools in Oklahoma City. We will continue to talk about that. Big news of the day, breaking news. Jalen Hurts has announced on the Players Tribune he's coming to Oklahoma. We've got Tim McMahon lined up next segment. Also, Doug Gottlieb. We'll get to your phone calls at 1 o'clock. We are jam-packed right here on the Monsters of the Midday.
James Harden Express right now. Are we ever going to see you in Oklahoma City again?
Man, I don't know. I've got James Harden. I've got Luka Doncic. I think don't the Rockets make one more trip up to OKC this year? I believe that's correct. And you know what? Could be there for an entire playoff series, although people laugh when I say this around the NBA. A playoff series in Oklahoma City is a dangerous proposition for me.
It's one that we would like to have, though. It's one that we'd like to have. How do you, I mean, just give us an idea of what it's been like to be on this magical James Harden ride. I mean, the other night was incredible with the 58 points.
Yeah, I mean, it's every night he's doing something that's basically historic. You know, even when he's off, it's historically off. You know, he's 1 of 17 from 3-point range. But man, you know, he's making 40-point triple doubles look routine. I mean, the guy's averaging 40-plus points per game over a stretch of more than a month now. And I know there's all these whining and crying. Oh, you know, all he does is draw fouls. What he's done with that step back three, he's made that step back three the the sky hook of this generation. I mean, he shoots it more than anybody else, better than anybody else. It's unguardable. If he's making it, you know, he's going to put up 40, 50, 57, 60 points. But, you know, between that and, you know, some of the passes that he makes, and then to see him do this where it's like every other starter is going down. And then it's like every time another guy goes down, it seems like Harden says, okay, I'll take a little bit more on my shoulders. It's been unbelievable.
They are winning. I assume if things start to go a little bit haywire, the buy-in from the rest of the roster might not be quite as much there. What's the chemistry like on the team right now?
Why wouldn't there be buy-in on the rest of the roster? You know, this is right now he's basically surrounded by a bunch of journeymen. And, you know, the one thing about James, you can say, well, you know, it's hard for guys to stay in the middle of that. But he gets guys wide-open looks. You know, I'll give you – I mean, I think that's why – they're able to pick up guys off the scrap heap time after time after time. And, you know, suddenly they look a lot. They look like NBA players in some cases, you know, guys who hadn't done anything in the league. Or, you know, a case of a guy like Austin Rivers, he's really thriving and playing his best basketball, playing off of James Harden. But, no, I mean, there's an understanding in that locker room and an excitement in that locker room that it's James Harden's team, and he's on a historic run right now. And it's not necessarily that they're trying to ride his coattails, but certainly everybody buys into the fact that their job is to compliment him as much as possible because he's going to be the guy who's running the show.
By the way, Timmy, I was up late the other night, and you look great on the Late Night Sports Center, by the way. I got to tell you, you had a great hit.
Well, I appreciate that. I need to go see your fancy little clothier up in OKC, except for I got to get a new contract before I can make that visit.
Well, don't worry. Hey, if you want me to get you hooked up, we'll get you hooked up, and we can worry about the finances later. But you were talking about a few great things in there, and give me the timetables for Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, and now Clint Capella. When should the Rockets be expecting those three guys back?
So Eric Gordon probably plays tonight, unless something goes wrong in the next, you know, whatever, 7 hours. The plan is that he makes his comeback tonight after missing eight games. Chris Paul, they've tentatively targeted next Friday when the Raptors will be in Houston. Obviously, if there's any reason for caution, they will err on that side. But right now, they're hoping to get him back in the next week. And then Capella, you know, the anticipation is he's going to have surgery. It's going to be a 4 to 6 week recovery, which, you know, takes them into the All-Star break. And so they expect Clint Capella to miss a total of 15 games and come back that first game after the All-Star break.
Did you get a chance to check out the Oklahoma City game last night? One, I think, definitely the worst loss of the season for them.
Oh, I got a chance to check out the Trae Young game. I thought you guys would be excited to see Trae Young actually playing really well right now. The Hawks are no longer a pushover. I thought especially Boomer Sooner Dusty would just be kissing Trey's little narrow butt up and down. But you guys want to rag on the Thunder. No wonder you guys can't get any players on the station.
Jeez. They gave up 45 and not one but two quarters last night, Tim. I mean,
Trae Young is something else, I tell you.
No, should look, I put in for Hawks postseason tickets now that I hear this?
Hey, well, I'll keep that off air. I was going to say something, but that's second thought. No, look, obviously the Thunder have hit a little funk here. You know, they've been the best defensive team in the league throughout the season, and then over these last, I think it's a stretch of six games, the numbers are ugly. And while the Hawks are playing better, to give up 142 points to the Hawks is not exactly what a championship contending type team ought to be doing. You know, at the same time, I know you guys are paid to overreact. I would, you know, just caution against going too hard on the overreaction, because I do think you look at body of work, this is still a good defensive team, if not a great defensive team.
Trending in the wrong direction, though, Timmy. I'm just telling you. I mean,
I'm looking at an entire body of work and you know, figuring that they'll snap out of this little funk. But there's no doubt these last, whatever it is, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks, it hadn't been pretty, and, you know, I wonder, maybe fatigue's a little bit of a factor. Certainly, you know, the game in San Antonio wasn't exactly going to result in a bunch of fresh legs coming out of that. But I just think it'd be a little silly to be looking for panic buttons. And, you know, just get your Boomer Sooner pom-poms and applaud Trae Young and the Hawks' performance last night.
I'm applauding it. Now, Trae Young's doing a lot better. I mean, I think the one thing he's done that he's never had to do in his career before, he's kind of letting the game come to him and not trying to do too much.
Yeah, he is. And look, the Hawks obviously are at least a couple more drafts away from being legitimate. But, you know, in some ways, it's unfortunate for Trae Young that he's kind of, I think, league-wide, or at least fans around the country say, geez, that's the guy that the Hawks got instead of Luka Doncic. They traded Luka Doncic to get this guy, and he struggled early in the season, but he really has played well lately. And he's not jacking up nearly as many three-pointers. I think his shot selection has become, you know, he's been much more selective. At a certain point, you want, you know, him to be a high-volume, efficient three-point shooter. He's not quite there yet, but, you know, he's a special passer. What did he have last night, like 24 and 11? And, you know, he's had some games like that. So, you know, if you've got a league pass and in Oklahoma, Trae Young is worth watching right now.
He's definitely worth watching. He was fantastic last night. Speaking of my Mavericks.
You're claiming them again.
That's right, I'm claiming them again. I got a couple of T-shirts for Christmas. They're back in action. We got Luka, baby. I'm back on the I'm an MFFL. Come on. But I did see that Dennis Smith Jr. may not be an MFFL. What's going on there? Are they really going to trade him?
Well, I hope those T-shirts are at least double XL, because those mediums are a bad look for a man your age. Let me just tell you that right now. Here's the problem with Dennis Smith Jr. as far as trade him. The entire league knows they want to move him. And this isn't a recent phenomenon. You know, they've been shopping him for months now, and it's kind of been an open secret. And, you know, talks had escalated this week, and the problem is when the whole league knows you want to move a guy, it's hard to get good value for him. And look, when it's a lottery pick and it's a year and a half into it, there's going to be a lot of red flags there. Like, okay, why are you trying to get rid of this guy? And there are reasons. The relationship between Dennis Smith Jr. and Rick Carlisle has not exactly been smooth sailing. There were questions about Dennis's coachability coming in the league. Certainly, Rick is not exactly a guy who's known to be easy on point guards or young players. Dennis Smith Jr. happens to be both of those, and I think that relationship has run its course. And then, look, everything for the Mavericks' hope the next generation is going to be about building around Luka Doncic. And Dennis Smith Jr. is just, you can argue it's a relatively small sample size, but the numbers are ugly. He just has not proven to be a good fit. Their offense with those two players on the floor, or really with Dennis on the floor, period, is one of the league's worst. And, you put other point guards on the floor with Luka or even no point guard, and the Mavericks are a really fun-to-watch team. So the end of Dennis's time in Dallas is near. Whether that's, today or before the trade deadline, I think that depends on what kind of offers the Mavericks can generate.
Tim, strong effort as always, man. We appreciate it. We'll catch up
with
you again soon.
All right, Dusty, what size are those shirts?
XL, baby. XL. Listen, I work really hard. Now, I mean, here's the deal. You can't come on talking about you want me to hook you up with somebody who dresses me if you're not ready to put on something a little bit, maybe uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable.
The sport coats are one thing, and those the butt-hugging slacks are somewhat questionable. But, man, I know you're proud you got those, big old guns and all, but, I mean, come on, Dusty. It's embarrassing when, like, the nipples protrude because your T-shirts are so tight. Tell them, Mark.
You obviously haven't seen our ratings. Mark said that my nipples are the reason our ratings are so high with the ladies in Oklahoma City. So, I'm sorry, Mark's disagreeing.
Oh, lordy.
It's not the nipples, it may be the pecs.
Beautiful Mrs. Dvorak is listening and have some constructive criticism when you get home tonight.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it. And yes, hey, Lovely Lacey is later. Always listening. Tim McMahon does a great job covering the NBA for ESPN. My shirts aren't too tight anymore. Am I too tight?
Nope.
No. Too tight?
No. I think he really was complimenting your dress attire. It's just fun. Oh, the T-shirts. The T-shirts are. I think you go to the gym. You got to show off the efforts. The fruits of the labor.
Absolutely. I'm at Aquascape Pools today, where you can come check out the fruits of their labor, as they've got a fantastic showroom floor. If you want to get an idea of what your backyard design could look like, maybe your backyard dreams, you want to put those into action, well, you can check it out here. They don't just install pools. It's the entire backyard, includes decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, and even fire pits. It's all on display right here. Aquascape Pools, corner of Britain and Eastern in Oklahoma City. We're going to try to figure out what's going on in Stillwater. Three players dismissed from the Oklahoma State basketball team. We got Doug Gottlieb coming up next.
Members of the basketball team have been dismissed. Busy sports day today. We've had some breaking news during the show. Jalen Hurts announcing on the Players Tribune that he will be coming to Oklahoma.
Mark. Are you surprised?
A little surprised. I'm a little surprised. Definitely surprised. I get that he would want to come to OU. I think that to play for Lincoln Riley, last two quarterbacks to win the Heisman Trophy, that's given him a chance to take his game to the next level. But I do think Lincoln Riley's going to have to adjust some.
I agree, but I think that's one thing that he's capable of. And I don't remember what day it was last week. I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday, we were in studio, and I got a phone call, and I kind of realized this was real, and there was a legitimate chance this was going to happen. Really just kind of started thinking about it and looking at it, and I think you should expect it to look a little different. I think that once they get Jalen here, and once Lincoln's able to watch him throughout a course of a spring, figure out exactly what he does well, he throws a good deep ball. I don't think he makes the intermediate throws as well. Start to put together an offense that plays to his strengths. And I think that, you'd be crazy to think that we wouldn't see a big element of the quarterback run game with this guy. I mean, he's 6'2", he's 225, 230, he's built like a big running back. And he was utilized that way and had a lot of success in the SEC. I can't imagine you wouldn't want to try to duplicate that here in the Big 12. And as I've mentioned before, I think that you know, you're still going to throw it, but I just think it gives you another element to be able to run it. And if you wanted to play a little keep away and be able to, you know, ball control, ground and pound type of offense, I think that you'd be able to do that with Jalen Hurts. So I understand it from both sides. I understand it when I really looked at it from the Oklahoma side and what Jalen Hurts brings, and that really, as much as you want to say he can't throw it, he has a chance to be more productive than any other quarterback they have on campus. That's just the reality of the situation. And then the intangibles that he brings, and from the Jalen Hurts side, it'd be a no-brainer to get a chance to work with an offensive guy that is regarded not just in college, but even, I mean, on all walks of football, is one of the brightest offensive minds, NFL teams coming after him. And he's had two straight Heisman Trophy winners that they were transfers and had a little time to understand the system. But how could you say no to that? If your goal is to put yourself in the best possible situation to play quarterback at the next level, there's nobody that could offer that kind of opportunity like Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma.
I agree with that. I think it's definitely good for him. I mean, it's going to put him that puts him in the spotlight.
So
gives him a chance to compete again for championships, you know? Don't think he would have had that at Miami, and don't think he would have had that at Maryland.
I mean, he's going to come in what? I mean, off Jump Street next year, what is he, the second-best quarterback in the Big 12?
Yeah, behind Ellinger.
Yeah, and I think that they're pretty comparable players. I mean, their style of play are very similar. And if Austin Kendall is a quarterback, you know, I don't know exactly where Austin Kendall falls in that line, but it's not number two. So, I don't know, man. I'm on board. I like it, and I think, you know, just Lincoln continues to kind of get what he wants, Mark. I mean, whether it be the defensive coordinator of his choosing, now he gets a grad transfer quarterback that he clearly wanted and went after and was able to get. I mean, I like it, man. And we'll see exactly what it looks like. I don't think it's a, you know, just a no-brainer slam dunk. Oh, they're gonna light the world on fire. I still think they're gonna be one of the better offenses in the Big 12, and I think Jalen Hurts will probably put up better numbers and look better at the quarterback spot than he has at any point in his career. But it's going to take both of those guys really working at it and, you know, trying to figure out exactly how to make this offense and tailor fit it right around Jalen Hurts.
Right. But I trust Lincoln Riley to do that. I mean, it's not – and again, that's not necessarily that could also, you know, help OU in a sense to – play a little bit more ball control offense, which is something that I think they need to do to help out the defense.
That's what
keep the defense off the field.
That's exactly right. 100% can. And let's not forget either, you still got CeeDee Lamb, and you just had 3 5-star wide receivers. Lincoln Riley's already said he's throwing them into the fire. So it's not like you're going to be without talent at the wide receiver position if, you know, be able to throw some of those balls down the field. So obviously huge news for Oklahoma. It's been something that's been talked about so much around here. Where is he going to wind up? We thought here on the show, I thought Miami or Oklahoma, and I clearly, if you look at it from a football standpoint, I mean, Oklahoma, it just seemed like was going to wind up being the choice that Jalen Hurts ultimately was going to make. Now, the other aspect of today that I don't want to get lost either, is great as that is, I can't stand this Austin Kendall stuff, Mark. I really can't. Like, I just... And I get it. People are saying, well, the Big 12, it's a Big 12 rule, right? The Big 12 allows
more than that.
These coaches
it's
to
more
do
than
that.
That, though. It's more than that because OU's trying to block him from going to anybody on their schedule. They don't want him to go to Tennessee either.
I just blows my mind. I just drives me crazy, man. I mean, drives me crazy. I don't understand that. Like, so Oklahoma's now scared of Austin Kendall? That's the deal? Now they're scared to play him? A guy that couldn't start for him. Now they're scared to play him? And they want to try to take away a year of his eligibility? He goes and plays somebody on the schedule? Come on, man. This is ridiculous to me. Kid did everything right. Did everything right. If West Virginia's the best place for Austin Kendall the next 2 years, let him go play football. I don't like it. I don't like it from Oklahoma. I don't like the fact that it's a Big 12 or a rule that conferences can have implemented. Now, I just want everyone to know, Oklahoma or any school could step in and say, yeah, that is the rule, but we're not going to enforce it. They have that right, which, to my knowledge, they haven't done yet. Graduated in 3 years. Worked his butt off as a backup quarterback. Did everything right, man. Did everything right. And now he wants maybe West Virginia's the best place for him to further his future? And you want to kneecap him and try to take away a year of eligibility? That just, who can tell me that that's right? Who can tell me that that's right? That's the right thing to do. When this is student athletes, can we just throw the student part out of it and just say these are athletes? That college football is going to continue to have power over, and we're going to continue to kind of force and tell you where you can. Come on, man. The kid graduated college. He did one of the main things we're supposed to do as student athletes. He graduated school, and he did it in a very fast manner. He expedited the process. He put himself in a situation to have 2 years eligibility. Kid should be able to go play where he wants to play. I think Lincoln Riley's unbelievable. I think he's a fantastic coach, and I can get behind a lot of things that he's done and a lot of things that he's been about since he's taken over at Oklahoma. But this is one thing that, and I don't just blame Lincoln. I think it's an overall college football problem. You graduate, you go where you want to go. I'm at Aquascape Pools here at the corner of Britton and Eastern. Call them today, 405-359-0140. You can schedule your appointment with one of their designers to get your backyard dreams into action. We're going to take your phone calls next hour. Royce Young is going to join us at 125. Fill him up, 460-9957. Keep it here on the Monsters of the Midday.
Four remaining in the ballgame.
Jalen Hurts coming to Oklahoma. That was Eli Gold on the Alabama radio broadcast. What's going to pay off this week from Bridgeview Public Insurance Adjusting? Well, Oklahoma's hoping it's Jalen Hurts because he is now the latest Sooner. And Lincoln Riley appears to have gotten his guy once again. Obviously, it came down to Maryland, Oklahoma, and Miami. Tate Martell transfers from Ohio State to Miami last night. Kind of felt like we'd find out something here today on Jalen Hurts, and he is coming to Oklahoma. What's it going to look like? How's it all going to pan out? Obviously, time will tell. We can give you our opinions. I think it's a good move. I'm excited to see exactly what the offense looks like. Is it a perfect quarterback to just take and implement into Lincoln Riley's offense? Not necessarily, but I think he's a guy. I think two things. Versatility is always key, and Lincoln Riley's shown that as a play caller and a play designer and what he's done with his quarterbacks. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to show some of that too to be able to be a guy that can run the football and maybe not throw it quite as much as some of the other quarterbacks here at Oklahoma have. But that's the big news of today, Marcus, and we'll find out exactly how much this pays off for Oklahoma next season.
Well, that was his first career win for OU in the SEC championship game.
Yes, it was.
If he didn't rally that team, then Oklahoma would have been probably in the Sugar Bowl.
He's helping the Sooners before he was even a part of the Sooners, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another thing, we're going to take your phone calls this segment, so if you want to get in, do it now, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. You know, this Austin, Oklahoma is blocking Austin Kendall from being able to transfer and be immediately eligible at West Virginia. Well, I should say there's a conference rule, and Oklahoma has decided that they're going to invoke it. Okay, they could pass on it and let him transfer wherever he wanted. Remember, this is a graduate transfer. Austin Kendall has graduated. I'm getting a lot of things on Twitter. Some people totally agree with me. A lot of OU fans, interestingly enough, they get it for sure. Come on, Dusty. Would you think about it from a strategy standpoint? Would you really let a quarterback go over there knowing their strategies? Yes, I would. Was there a block on Kerry Cooks going to Tech, Mark? Remind me. Or a coach that's been here, been a defensive coordinator for 6 years, now can coach within the same league, yes or no?
No, but did OU fight to get Baker Mayfield allowed to transfer.
You're damn right they fought to get him an extra year of eligibility in conference, okay? This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I hope Oklahoma changes courses. I really do. Now, if Austin Kendall has a better opportunity somewhere else and it's not on Oklahoma's schedule, that's fine. But if West Virginia's that place, come on, man. This is a fight to me that you shouldn't be fighting. You have, as a university and a football program, even just here recently, you've been the benefactor of some eligibility rules, some transfer rules. You fought to get your guy an extra year of eligibility because the rule made no sense. Now the rule makes no sense, but you're going to live to it? Come on, man. Better than that. All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're up. You're off the Monsters. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
Dusty, I agree with you 100%. So what? Let him go. I mean, I'm with you, Dusty. I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, it's worse ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah. So.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, hopefully they'll... One more thing. This guy coming in... one thing that hurt us last year, I think, too, we don't know if Austin can really play. We couldn't get our reserves in because we was having a shootout. We couldn't get our backups in. So I hope the defense plays better this year and can maybe we can start playing our reserves a little bit more. So anyway, have
nice.
A good day.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Jeff. Appreciate that very much. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're off the Monsters. How you doing?
Hey. Thanks for having me. Just a thought I had, and you may have already mentioned this, but you guys mentioned, of course, Jalen Hurts coming in and, you know, the quarterback run game being a part of the offense. And then you mentioned that they could, if they so chose, play keep away. And I thought...
ball control.
Ball control, exactly. Yep. Would you guys agree in saying that... in doing that, if Lincoln Riley were to do more of that, would that not make the defense at least look a little better on paper?
Said that last week, Eric, when we first started talking about Jalen Hurts, and that could be one of the benefits to bringing him in. So, absolutely. You want to help out your new D coordinator and that new staff? Time of possession is always key. Keep them off the field. That's a way until Grinch can really, you know, get his players in and get it really rolling, that's a way you could help aid that defense initially, for sure.
Sure, and Alex Grinch, you know, if I'm Alex Grinch, I'm giddy about this guy coming because that's, you know, rather than having to defend, you know, 60 or 70 plays, I'm looking at, you know, maybe defending, you know, 50 plays or 55 plays. And, you know, it's not a huge difference, but it's enough that, you know, sure would help the guys out, you would think. So.
No doubt. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Hey, another thing, Mark, that I think another thing that I like about Jalen Hurts, takes care of the football, right, Mark? I mean, he does not throw a lot of – interceptions, and that's been something that, you know, whether it be Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray, they've done a nice job taking care of the football, and
at least
it seems like to this point that's at least a, I know we talk about all the negatives of Jalen being able to throw the football, but his decision making has been pretty darn good as a quarterback in college football. All right, back to the phones we go. Sooner Paul, you're up next. You're off the Monsters. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Dusty and Mark, good to talk to you all. Thank you for your wonderful show and the people you've been having on lately. It's been really, really good. And I wanted to also tell you, you've convinced me, Dusty, and really with that comment on Kerry Cooks, if he can go to Tech, that young man who's done everything right, and I wasn't convinced earlier today when the discussion first started, I was driving and listening, and I was totally, you convinced me, though. I mean, I think that's right. And he has done everything right. And you shouldn't punish someone that shows character and carries through and graduates. And so I appreciate that you had a very good opinion and it won me over. And I think it's because the argument is correct.
Appreciate that, Senator Paul. Appreciate that.
Also, I wanted to ask you.
I'm not trying to, and I just want to say this. I'm not trying to, this isn't just like, I'm not coming after just Oklahoma.
No, I know that. Yeah.
We see this all across college football. Okay, this is all across college football. And this is something that, I mean, I feel strongly about, and I think it's something that they need to really take a long, hard look at and make that adjustment. You graduate. You should be able to decide where you're going to go and not have somebody tell you.
Yeah, we're not slaves. Nobody is here in America. You're right. And also, I wanted to ask you about this Mordecai kid from Waco. Can you tell me a little more about him? I don't know, and I'll take it off the air. And God bless you guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for the call. Mark, Tanner Mordecai, he's from, I believe he's from Waco. I know it's right. A guy that Lincoln Riley's liked quite a bit, throws it pretty well. I remember there was somebody that had mentioned to me it wouldn't shock them if Tanner Mordecai really pushed Austin Kendall. He could maybe outplay him. So I think they definitely like the way he throws the ball, and he's a pretty good athlete too, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. Lincoln Riley had, I think, you know, there were other more highly rated quarterbacks that I think Lincoln Riley could have gone after, but he really liked this guy. You know, I think that when he evaluated him, he thought that he really fit what he wanted to do. Now he's only been on campus, not very long, Dusty. So, let's see what happens next season. You can't guarantee that somebody's going to be successful. I would say Jalen Hurts is clearly going to be the starting quarterback at OU. In terms of Spencer Rattler, maybe the highest profile recruit Oklahoma's had at that position since Rhett Bomar.
Yep.
But again, Rhett Bomar didn't quite turn out to be the player that we thought. So I wouldn't rule out Tanner Mordecai having a shot to play at OU, but he's going to have to go up against some stiff competition.
They really like Spencer Rattler. And again, I just think that's another added benefit of a guy like Jalen Hurts. For him to be able to mentor Spencer Rattler, it's just, man, stuff like that's just, it's invaluable. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but I can tell you, in those meeting rooms, on those practice fields, the things that Spencer Rattler is going to be able to see and learn from Jalen Hurts is really, really going to be something of value that he's going to be able to take and keep with him throughout his career in Norman. All right, back to the phone. Let's go to Joe. Joe, thanks for the call. You're on with the Monsters of the Midday. What's up, Joe?
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, Mark. Hey, Dusty. Hey, I don't think you guys, I mean, could be more spot on. This is really hypocritical, the University of Oklahoma, when you think of it. And I'm a huge OU fan. You think of the, you know, what they went to bat for Baker for the same exact thing. This kid's been on campus 3 years. He's graduated. I mean, and like you said earlier, we're supposed to be scared of Austin Kendall now. You can't even start there. And you know, it should be a glorious day thinking we're bringing Jalen Hurts in. This really puts a black eye on it. And, you know, it just, in my opinion, I think it looks really, really bad that we would block a kid who's done everything we wanted to, had to play behind two Heisman Trophy winners. And nobody in the history of football has ever had to do that.
And Joe, he did it thinking, right, that he's going to have a chance to start this year, and then they go get a grad – then they go get a grad transfer to bring in to take your job. And then they want to tell you that if you want to go to your favorite place, you got to sit out a year and lose a year of eligibility? That's ludicrous.
And the other thing, Dusty, is think about this. You know, he knew he was the next man up. Then he starts hearing the rumors of Jalen Hurts. And then isn't it – now, this is hearsay, and you guys may know more about it. But somebody also said that Spencer Rattler was told that we were not going after Jalen Hurts. Is that correct?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Well, I know I heard that somewhere. So think about what that could do inside the program.
It's not going to affect Spencer Rattler.
No, that was the kid from Georgia I thought was the kid that went to Ohio State was the one.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe that's the one then.
Justin Fields. Not going to be able to compete. I don't think he's going to be able to compete for the starting job.
I do agree that I think it should be a great day. You know, here, I'll throw one more spin on this. You remember, and all of us said it last year. I know I listen to you guys every single day. Everybody said it. Nobody thought Kyler could throw it the way he threw it. You know, and you put Jalen Hurts in Lincoln Riley's offense, I promise you, he's going to put him in situations to make better pass attempts than he was at Alabama. So hopefully he can come out. Completed, 61% last year? Maybe the kid can throw 65-66% at Oklahoma. If he does that and Grinch does what we hope he can do, hey, we're right back in this thing.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Much appreciated. And, again, part of the reason I'm as big a believer in Jalen Hurts coming to Oklahoma as I am is because of Lincoln Riley. That's how much I think of him and the situations he's going to put him in. And just, you know, the ability for this offense, it creates some really compromising situations on defenses, which leads to open receivers. So, you know, I don't know if Jalen Hurts possesses any of the throwing skill set that the last two quarterbacks have, but I trust Lincoln Riley, and I trust that he's going to put this kid in some really good spots, Mark. So, let's get one more in here. before we go to Royce Young, try to figure out what in God's name happened in Atlanta last night. Let's go to Randy. Randy, what's up? You're off the Monsters. Go ahead, man.
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, I got a question for you. Was this backup quarterback at OU, Kendall, was he on scholarship?
Yes.
Was Baker on scholarship?
Nope.
So how are you making this an apples-to-apples comparison?
I didn't. I said it was a school that went to bat for their player over a year of eligibility when the rules
right.
state that he shouldn't have got that. So they fought for it. They had it changed rightfully. And now a stupid rule that's in there, just like that stupid rule, now instead of doing what's right, they're gonna hold by those rules?
You're not making an apples-to-apples comparison.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Randy.
All right? Yeah, okay, right. So somebody stands up to you guys. And,
no,
and
go ahead and talk.
No, no,
no, talk. No, right. Come on, Randy, go ahead. Let's
okay.
go.
So how is that an apples-to-apples comparison?
It's about eligibility. I think it's as close as you're going to get.
Okay, so.
You want me to bring up other – you want me to go and search and look at other schools last year where a player was trying to transfer within conference when they backed off and they allowed them to do it? Would you like me to go do that?
No,
I'm saying
to me, if a school puts in the time and effort and money on some kid that they've given a free ride to, they
have
that right.
First of all,
now,
he's earned it. He's earned it. It's not. I mean, he's earned it. He's put in a lot of. He's put a lot of time, effort, energy. I mean, yeah, he got school paid for, but he earned that. Put himself in the situation, did everything that he had to do. So it's not like it's free.
Well, I'm just saying. I just think it's a weak comparison to compare Baker's situation.
How's it weak?
Because Baker wasn't on a ride. Nobody offered him a ride.
What?
Nobody offered Baker a ride.
Nobody.
He was paying for his own schooling. So you're telling me that you agree that a kid that's paying for his own school can't decide where to go?
No. Well, no, what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is very simple, Randy, is I said the same thing back then. I thought it was asinine. That they were going to try to take a year of eligibility from a young man that was paying for school. That was crazy. And I said as much. And so did Oklahoma. And they fought for it and they got it. I've said for a long time now, years now, if you're a graduate, a school, a conference should not be able to tell you where you can or cannot go play college football. They should not be able to put a block on you. Okay? I mean, it's not the exact same situation, but it's comparable. It's showing that a school saw a rule that was in place they didn't like, and they fought for the year of eligibility. I'm saying there's a rule in place that makes zero sense. They're not going to fight for it to be the right rule. They're going to utilize it because it benefits them. I don't think that's right. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at all. So, I mean, again, I can find apples-to-apples comparisons if you would like. I mean, I'm sure I can. But I'm just saying that, so now all of a sudden Oklahoma is afraid of Austin Kendall. Going to West Virginia? You know, it's interesting. In the National Football League, players get cut or get traded all the time, and they go to all these different teams. Somehow, if you cut a player and they go somewhere else, somehow it doesn't completely make that organization collapse. They don't give away all the secrets. I mean, again, Randy, you can have your opinion all you want to. And if you want to try to hold my feet to the fire and say that's not the exact same comparison, I guess you're right. It's not the exact same. But come on, man. It's common sense here. What's right is right. And at least for me, where I sit, if they put a block on Austin Kendall from going where he wants to go, it just doesn't make sense.
I've got a feeling they're not going to do it. I mean, I don't think they're going to.
I think they'll back off of it. I think that they will back off of it.
Right.
I think that's the right thing to do, and I think in the end, they'll recognize that, and they'll do what's right. Here at Aquascape Pools, corner of Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City, give them a call, 405-359-0140. You can check out their website, aquascapeokc.com, and you can come check out their award-winning pools and backyards for inspirations for your own home. Their team's going to help you create a unique outdoor living space that fits you and your family. Call them at 405-359-0140. And I can assure you, we'll give you your time to state your case. You don't have to agree with what we're saying. So I didn't cut you off there anyway, Randy, by the way. I'm never going to just cut somebody off unless you start cussing and I have to take you off the air. But feel free to call in anytime. We would love to hear your opinion. When we get back, we're going to hear the opinion of the great Royce Young. What happened in Atlanta? He'll tell us next. It can get a little bit more fun. As a welcome to the show from ESPN, talking all things Thunder, Mr. Royce Young. Royce, it's Wednesday today. I'm going to try to help you out. It's Wednesday.
I was ready to come in and wish you guys a happy Sunday. I don't even know where I'm at right now. Am I?
Well, I don't think. I don't think.
I used to think I was in Toronto all the time, Dusty, so you got no room to talk.
That's right. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't think the Thunder had any idea where they were last night.
That's true.
Can you just try to explain what was going on in the defensive end last night for the Thunder?
I mean, the players explained it by saying it was a lack of effort. And I think that a lot of times in my mind, just going with that is kind of, you know, the low-hanging fruit oversimplification of what really was. Yeah, there was certainly some effort, low energy type of issues, I'm sure, that plagued them last night. And, you know, when you're getting beat up on rotations and giving up as many points in the paint and dunks as they did, some of it, you know, the Hawks shot the ball really well. They got some good shooters. They have a good system. They've been playing a little bit better. For me, I just think the Thunder just, you know, there's more than just a, oh, you didn't play hard enough type of thing. Maybe it was a lack of focus. Maybe it was disrespecting the team you were playing. I think that sometimes, Dusty, I think that this team, some of the symptoms from last season kind of creep in, where they show up to an arena, expect to roll the ball out and just kind of beat somebody because they feel like they're pretty good. I think sometimes they start feeling themselves a little bit, and they're not good enough to feel themselves. They've got a, when you make your living on the defensive end, there is no room for complacency ever, especially in the NBA, because it takes so much effort to produce on that end of the floor, and they're just not a good enough team to outscore anybody. So, I mean, look, 142 points to the Hawks is embarrassing, but the most embarrassing thing about it is 45 points in the fourth quarter. That is a humiliation. To give up that many points in a fourth quarter is just that's one of the most humiliating things I've ever seen from a Thunder team.
Are they tuning out Billy Donovan? Because it looked like early in the season that the team was really buying into what I think he wanted them to do, and he seems very frustrated on the bench. I mean, I saw him in the San Antonio game. Just it seems like he's really uncomfortable right now, and I'm sure he can't be happy after last night's game.
I don't think that's fair to say. I don't think that that's the case. You know, I know that sometimes it's easy to, you know, we're in trying to assign blame or in diagnose the issue, that, you know, a lot of times you look to the coaches or something like that. I don't necessarily think that that would be the issue, because look, they did some of the things that they like to do. I mean, they forced some turnovers. You know, they, against the Spurs, they look like a completely renewed team in the second half. You know, I think it's one of those things, Mark, where, you know, the results have not been there, and I think some of the identity that they've played with is they've lapsed in that area. So, you know, we all sit back and try to say, well, what's going on? If you can, you know, if you pump the brakes and you zoom out and you try to look at it, again, the results have not been positive. But they lost a very, very close game to the Timberwolves, lost a very, very close game to the Spurs, and then they've had two really bad performances. So, you know, I don't know that it's like panic time or trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with them necessarily. Teams lose these games, and for whatever reason, they're frustrating and they're annoying. Again, it's what's disconcerting about it is just the manner in which it happened against the Hawks, less so than the result they got.
I'm all for saying that, but this isn't a one game deal. In the NBA, I think it's fair to say that you know, 2 and 3 week trends can become alarming, and to me, this is what's been the 2 and 3 week trend for Oklahoma City.
True, but I mean, at the same time, you know, you can look over the history of any team's 82 game schedule, and they hit these kind of peaks and valleys, and they hit these trends, and it's more about, I think, kind of figuring out a way to sustain yourself to where that, you know, you're trending in the right direction come late March and April. And if your worst point, look, every team is going to have a bad spot in the schedule. It's going to happen to the Warriors. It's going to happen to the Thunder. It's going to happen to the Celtics. Anybody is going to hit those bad spots where they kind of hit a valley. But, you know, like you said, Mark, it's about course correction. You got to figure yourself out. You got to get it fixed and make sure that it doesn't become a, you know, something bigger than a trend, and it becomes kind of a new identity. So, you know, I'm not necessarily worried about it by any means. Now, if it extends out over a month or something, then you start to kind of go, okay, what's going on here? Because the fact of the matter is you just don't have that much luxury in the Western Conference to lose 4 out of 5 games.
Okay, as far as Nerlens Noel, do we have a timeline on when he might be back? His presence around the rim was missed last night.
Absolutely, Dusty. And, you know, the other aspect about it is, you know, now you've got Jeremy Grant kind of having to play a little bit out of position, going back to playing back at 5, which has not worked out all that great. In terms of an update, practice is going to open here in the next 10 or 15 minutes, and Billy Donovan will give us another little update there. But, you know, concussion protocol is a kind of a dicey thing. You never know how long it's going to extend. Most of the time it's a week or a week and a half. So I assume that Noel's probably getting pretty close to being back. I don't know that he'll be back for tomorrow's game against the Lakers, but, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be much longer than another week.
I think they need him. How much longer do you think LeBron's going to be out?
Yeah, the expectation mark is that he was going to play against the Thunder. You know, a lot of people thought that was kind of the day that he would be back. And, you know, Dave McMenamin, my colleague, reported or was told by Rich Paul that LeBron's going to sit out this road trip. And to me, Mark, I think that it's one of those things where the longer LeBron sits out, I think it's kind of revealing that he's 34 years old, and I think he understands as much as anybody, or more than anybody, that there is no room for rushing back in this situation. When you're older, as much of a freak as LeBron is, as much as we all agree that he is not from this planet in terms of his ability to kind of deny father time or any loss in step or anything like that, you can't mess around with this as you start to age, because this is really what sneaks up on players and starts kind of whittling down their careers. It's not necessarily just that, oh, you start getting older, you're not quite as athletic as you were. It's the little injury, and then the little nagging injury becomes a little bigger injury. You know, I often think about Steve Nash and how one small little thing snowballed into another, and he never shook it off, and he ended up having to retire. And so now he was older. He was like 38, 39. But if you start messing around and you take a groin injury and you try to push through it and then it becomes something bigger and you start favoring it, as you get older, you can't shake these things off. And I think LeBron obviously is very cognizant of that.
Does this team know, though, Royce? I'm wondering, just back to kind of the defense. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like there was a point in time where they knew their calling card. They knew that they were going to win games this year with defense. And it just feels like probably the last 8 to 10 games, that's been lost. I mean, do they know that they're not a very good shooting team, and that the way that this roster is built, it's built on a team that can lock you down and defend? Because it feels like they're trying to go out there and outscore people instead of limit people and shut them down defensively.
I think that's a very valid point, because I think if you look over the last 8 to 10 games, Dusty, they've played better offense. You know, some of the areas have improved. They're shooting free throws better. They've had some games where they've shot the three decently. And I think just if you're kind of want to like dumb it down to like a very specific thing, like Russell Westbrook has shot the ball better, right? He's shooting free throws better. His efficiency is kind of ticking back up. He's starting to shoot a little bit better from the mid range. And I think just specifically him kind of being the example, is that instead of having to say, okay, the shot's not falling, let's really dig in and focus on the defensive end, yeah, I think that sometimes you can kind of relax a little bit and say, you know, this possession's not so important, we'll get it back. And I think Westbrook specifically has taken a dip on the defensive end as his offense has kind of started to rise back up. I think, you know, because it's like, I think almost in some ways it was a twisted good thing for the Thunder that maybe his shot wasn't falling, because Westbrook was like, okay, if my shot's not going to fall, I got to do everything else. I got to really hone in on these other areas, because if I'm hurting my team with my jump shooting, then I got to be better everywhere else. And because of that, they with him kind of at the front of it, they really dug in on the defensive end. And so I think in some ways they've kind of lapsed in some of those areas.
You were in Atlanta. They got some guys that they might want to unload at the trade deadline. Kent Bazemore is kind of a shooter. Any shot of making a deal for him?
No. I mean, he makes too much money. He's like an $18 million. I mean, if it was one of those things where, you know, the Hawks bought him out or something and he hits the free agent market, then the Thunder would certainly be interested. But here's the thing, Mark. You know, a guy like Bazemore kind of carries that reputation as like a nice, you know, 3 and D player, but this is kind of the siren song of not watching a guy play every night. I think Bazemore's shooting like 32% from three this year, you know? So, like, it's not like he would fit right in terms of his percentages with the Thunder, but, you know, we all kind of have a perception because he's had games where he's capable of shooting it. This Thunder team, Mark, they're just not in a position to take on any more money. They're basically tapped out in that regard. So any kind of big money that's going to impact that luxury tax payment, I just don't see it happening.
Golden State reminded everybody last night that when they want to and they flex their muscle, they are still that much better than everybody else. That was a one-sided affair in Denver last night, Royce.
Yeah, and again, not to take it back to the Thunder, Dusty, but they scored 51 in the first quarter. You know, we were all oohing and aahing and like, wow, 51 points. The Hawks scored 45 in the fourth quarter and 45 in the second quarter, by the way. So, but the Warriors, the way that they came out and just kind of emphatically beat down the Nuggets, you know, that's just the power that they have. And when Durant, Curry, and Klay Thompson all shoot the ball well, there's just literally nothing you can do. You just can't beat them. You're just not going to win the game because Curry's going to fill you up from three-point range, so will Klay Thompson. Durant will hit some, but he just scores in all the in-between areas, and it's just ruthless efficiency, and there's just no it is a math problem where they are multiplying and you are adding, and you cannot keep up with that, and they will just beat you down.
I like that. That's good stuff. So on that note, we will finally bid you adieu. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. Happy
Hopefully
Wednesday.
After a Thunder
Thanks,
winning
Royce.
Streak started.
Happy Wednesday. Hey, that's a much better effort by you than it was on Monday, so at least you got that going for you. Okay, it has been an action-packed day today. We're not slowing down. Mark, you want to take a couple more calls before we get out of here? Or
I think that's fine. Fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those days where I think there are the people want to talk, so we're going to let the people talk. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. I've got a couple more thoughts. I've actually, for Randy, the caller earlier, I found a couple of instances of in-conference transferring. As a matter of fact, there's a quarterback this year in the Big 12. We'll talk about that and much, much more. I'm at Aquascape Pools, corner of Britain and Eastern today, where there's great things going on. Antonio just walked in the place. It's a great retail store, open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to help you with your pool needs. Or you can just come by to see the different pools and different things to get you inspired about your backyard dreams. It's not just pools they do here. The entire backyard, decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, fire pits, that and much, much more. Check out their website, aquascapeokc.com, or give them a call, 405-359-0140 here at Aquascape Pools. We'll take your phone calls in our final segment, 460-9957, 460-WWLS. Keep it here on the Monsters of the Midday. 51 points in the first quarter, left little doubt. There was 89 points scored in the first quarter last night in Denver as the Golden State Warriors roll Steph Curry 8 of 13 from three-point land, 31 points in just 30 minutes. He's putting together a spectacular season. 460-9957, 460-WWLS, you want to jump in before we depart. Big news today, a lot of big news today. Jalen Hurts has decided to take his talents to Norman. He released on the Players Tribune today his how thankful he was to the University of Alabama, but that he would be coming to the University of Oklahoma and enrolling in school, I believe, immediately. So huge news for Oklahoma, big get for Lincoln Riley. The other news that's come out from our own Jake Trotter, I just got off the phone with Jake, that Oklahoma, it appears now they can still come back on this, but it appears that they are blocking Austin Kendall from being able to transfer to West Virginia, basically meaning he'd have to sit out a year, lose a year of eligibility. He's graduated in three. He's got 2 years left to play. If he went to West Virginia in conference, or Mark even said if it's Tennessee, Oklahoma's going to, you know, make him lose a year of eligibility and sit out, which we've said here today is just crazy. And I was trying to remember, it was last summer, and the kid's name was Brandon Kennedy. He's an offensive lineman from Alabama. And this is whenever this was a big topic on our show. Brandon Kennedy wanted to transfer from Alabama and go to Tennessee. Backup, wanted to be a starter. It was a new coach there that had a familiarity with him, Jeremy Pruitt being the defensive coordinator at Alabama. And then he goes to Tennessee. So he's going to transfer. And Alabama, Nick Saban at the time, the SEC,
had a rule saying, well, if you even if you're, you know, if you want to transfer, you're a graduate in conference, you got to sit out. Tennessee didn't like it. Other schools in the SEC didn't like it. Even Kirby Smart spoke up over the summer. They voted on it, and they did away with that stupid rule. Okay? Did away with it. Now, even with the rule in place, any school at their discretion has the right to waive that rule. Okay, so Brandon Kennedy went to Tennessee this year. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL the very beginning of the year, but he was able to play immediately, which is right, which is what should be done. No different than in this case. Also, I'll give you another one. John Bonney, Texas safety, started at Texas Tech this year. Started at Texas for almost 2 years. Wasn't a reserve. He was a starter. And I remember talking with Zach Spavital about this early in the season, and I can just tell you Texas tried to do everything they could to not let him transfer, but it only made sense. And he was able to play and played this year, started for Texas Tech secondary. I'll even give you one this offseason. TCU quarterback Alex Delton. Our very own Jake Trotter reported he's leaving Kansas State. He's going to TCU. Kansas State not going to block him from transferring within the conference. I mean, so, you know, Mark, said all I need to say, and this is one that I hope Oklahoma comes back and changes course. Now, if Austin Kendall, there's a better place, it's not in the Big 12 or on Oklahoma's schedule, that he feels is the best situation for him and his future moving forward, go there, man. Do what's right for you. My whole point, though, is that Austin Kendall did everything right at Oklahoma. He did everything he was supposed to do. He fulfilled his end of the bargain. Oklahoma, they didn't do him wrong in any way, but they had him serve as a backup, and they kind of baited him along and didn't even let him know that somebody else might come until the end of last week, which he hasn't had a lot of time to find a school. And now you want to tell him that, oh, yeah, by the way, on top of that, if you want to go to West Virginia, you're going to have to lose a year of eligibility? I mean, just doesn't make a lot of sense in my regard. And I'm going to tell you, I wish the Big 12 would step up like the SEC did last summer. And they do away with this. If you graduate school, you should be able to transfer where you want to go. This isn't overly complicated. Mark, anything to add?
No, sir. Let's get a phone call in. Let's go to Shannon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Shannon. Thanks for having me. Let me take my phone call. Sorry.
What's up, Shannon?
Hello? Yes, I was just talking from a Mountaineer fan perspective in regards to Austin Kendall.
Okay.
We've just had basically a coaching upheaval. There's nobody left on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. We lost a great amount of talent to graduation. We'll be lucky to go 6-6 next year, Austin Kendall or no Austin Kendall. So I don't know why all of a sudden Oklahoma is scared that Austin Kendall is going to go to West Virginia and just tear it up.
It makes no sense, Shannon. I'm with you. I don't get it either. I have no clue.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, and I'll take it off the air.
Thanks, Shannon.
I think he took it on the air.
I agree with him.
He did. Yeah.
You know what I mean, Mark? Like, I don't know. I don't know why Oklahoma would be this adamant about Austin Kendall going somewhere within conference.
I don't know that they are. You know what I'm saying? This is just a report. I mean, I haven't seen Austin Kendall say this. I don't know that they wouldn't revisit it. So I'm not, again, until I see
who
something
reported
that OU
it?
Comes out and says we're going to block it. I mean, I
Jake
don't know.
Reported so. This, though. I mean, Jake knows what he's doing. So, Jake, so you're telling me that if this wouldn't be, I mean, Jake wouldn't have put this out if it wasn't out there. I'm not saying Oklahoma can't.
He's a former producer of the show, R.J. Dupree, good dude. He tweeted at us and said, this may be OU's way of suggesting he doesn't do it. Hey, look, we're going to block you from doing this, this, and this, and this, and then come back and say, okay, you know, go ahead. We'll go ahead and let you do it. I think that's what's going to happen in this situation.
I think they'll back off, too.
I don't think they're going to follow through on it.
Okay. I hope that's right. Back to the phones we shall go. Let's get one more, and let's go to Eric. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. First, I'm a big fan of the show. I had two questions for you, and I'll take them off the air. For one, given, you know, what Lincoln's been able to do with OU these past couple years, do you think, given Hurts' athletic ability, can he lead us to the playoffs again? And bouncing off that question, given Grinch coming in, do you think him, you know, as OU as a defense, to add more pressure, does he change up the scheme coming into this next year? Maybe go to like a 3-3-5 or even maybe a 4-3. And I'll take it off there. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Defense will look completely different. It's going to be much more aggressive, pre-snap movement, post-snap movement on the defensive line and in the secondary. A lot of pressure on third down, man-to-man coverage, and you'll see both odd and even front. So it's multiple fronts. So, yeah, it's going to look quite a bit different schematically heading in to next year. Mark, Jalen Hurts, can he lead Oklahoma to the college football playoff, I believe was the question. I would say he can. I have more questions on where that offensive line, how good and physical they're able to get, and you know, give it some time and see exactly what that defense can look like. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think that could happen.
Well, they've been the last 2 years. I wouldn't have projected them to go back this season. They got a lot of starters coming back on defense, so and they've been in a league that has been very good for them to get there. The other leagues, like the Pac-12, have kind of taken themselves out of college football playoffs. So if Oklahoma next year's schedule, Dusty, I think is also pretty accommodating. UCLA is going to be better. They have to go on the road out there, but I think that's a game that they're going to be pretty significantly favored in. They have Houston at home, and who's the other team they play? It's a 1AA team, correct? So non-conference schedule check is accommodating. South Dakota.
What is the mascot of South Dakota, Mark? I know South Dakota State's the Jackrabbits. What's South Dakota?
I don't know what South Dakota is, man.
Coyotes.
They're red and white. They're what missile?
You don't
Coyotes.
Know?
Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Wow.
I didn't know it.
Did you know that offhand? Or
did
I
you
did. Have it pulled
I did.
Off?
Yeah, that's weak
that's
on
impressive.
My part.
Mark.
I'm sending myself
wow,
to probation.
Wow, the missile got you. That. Got you in the land of mascots.
Disappointing.
Very good. All right, entertaining day today. I think we were able to get through the Thunder loss last night, and then a lot of things broke during our show. So really fun. If you didn't get a chance to hear it all, be sure to check that out on our podcast page. And a big thanks to the fine folks here at Aquascape Pools, corner of Britton and Eastern, right here in Oklahoma City. Call them at 405-359-0140. You can schedule your appointment with one of their designers. Get your backyard dreams into action. They don't just install a pool. They do the entire backyard, including decks, outdoor kitchens, landscaping, fireplaces, and fire pits. It's all right here. Aquascape Pools, Britton and Eastern in Oklahoma City. All the time we have today. We're back tomorrow. Same time, different places. Keep it here on the Leader in Sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.